I'm Bill Lessard.
And I'm Steve Baldwin.
And this is The Real Web. Today we're talking with Sean Kennedy and James O'Brien of Rant Radio.
On the outside of things, what you're doing seems really exciting. It's rebellious, it's, you know, pump up the volume, it's all this kind of like, let's take radio back to what it used to be. What is the reality?
The reality is actually pretty close to the same. It's very exciting for us because of the involvement of the listeners. And I think that might be what separates us from a lot of the other radio stations on the internet, that you just tune in and listen, and that's all. That's the extent of your involvement. But with us, we get promos sent to us made by our listeners, and we've got pictures, and they make graphics for us, and
art, rants, a lot of recordings done, people sending it in, and a lot of young people just generally kind of ticked off with social and economic and governmental conditions, and they feel like they need a voice, and we give them that voice.
This is perhaps a fatuous question, but why do you feel that people are so pissed off?
If you take a look around in what's been going on with our society, there's, up until recently, could you imagine what would happen if the internet hadn't occurred? Right now we have the wage slave state, which is being implicated by major corporations such as, I won't do any names because you probably won't be able to put them in the interview, but major corporations, they hire people on for minimum wage type. They hype them all up using cult tactics like, you know, you're part of the team, insert catchphrase here, and they lie to young people and old people alike, and everyone winds up with like a McDonald's type position, only instead of flipping burgers, you're flipping code or flipping lumber.
But you still get a name tag.
But you still get your name tag, and gosh darn it, you take one for the team. And that used to sell, but it's not selling anymore. And now most of the X generation is getting older, and we're beginning to realize that we weren't raised, we were distracted for most of our lives. And it's starting, we're a little bit pissed off about it now. And thankfully, because of the internet and because of the IT trades, we have an ability to...
We now have a voice. There's a way to get the non-corporate people's voice out to the rest of the world uncensored.
And, yeah, and very, very straight up. And that way, people understand that you know, you're not alone. There is... you're not the only one who thinks that, you know, their life is shit. And they want to connect with other people. And that's what Rant Radio and that's what the cult site's all about.
So do you think that... what Rant Radio is just an extension of, or the latest manifestation of what we've already been seeing? I mean, several months ago there were the protests against the WTO in Seattle. Then it was the World Bank in D.C. last month.
I don't know if I'd agree with that, but because Rant Radio, we started Rant Radio with pretty good response a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And it's been coming for a long time. I think the reason why the new economy is so vibrant is because of people, and people are refreshed by the change, by the dynamics of change, so that now they can finally progress on a level where, you know, old school thinking and old school mentality, instead of being, you know, the standby, is now the kiss of death. And I think that because they've had that breath of the new technology and the new culture, this is why the protests are happening, because people now more than ever believe that protests and rebelling and speaking out, it actually works.
And it's a lot easier for people to do that nowadays with everyone having an internet connection, and somebody can look like a huge corporation by just putting up a really nice website and making themselves look really important. It gives people a very simple way to put their views on the internet, and Rant Radio is one of those places that you can do that.
You've been listening to part one of our conversation with Sean Kennedy and James O'Brien. Stay tuned for more of The Real Web.
Now, you started this site back in early 99, right?
Yeah, we put it, I started it up about, I think it was about 6 days after Shoutcast publicly released the software, and I went, wow, this is what I've been wanting to do for a very long time, make a pirate radio station, and I was looking at it to do it over the airwaves, but it's just a lot of involvement. You have to learn a lot of tech about radios, and But I saw this and went, wow, I have a microphone, I have a computer, I have a fast internet connection, I'm on cable, so let's do it, and I set it up that day. It was so easy.
I was contacted shortly thereafter, and because, you know, I generally freak out everywhere I go, shopping lineups, malls, you know, whatever. And so it was kind of like, hey, Sean, you like to shout and yell at people, why don't you record a few of these things, and it'll all be good. And it started off as kind of a gag. And now we've got people downloading rants and things 24 hours a day. It's amazing.
And it's the perfect meshing. Sean provides the voice for the radio station, and people listen in because of the rants that we put on and the social commentary we put on. And rant radio is the way to put it out to the people. It's a perfect marriage.
How many people would you say are listening to rant radio at this time?
Oh. We have very... very loyal listeners, and I think that's very important about the radio station. They're not people that just tune in and then tune out. These people listen to it all day at work. They tell their friends. They listen to it at home. They listen to our live show, and they spread the word.
Just to give you a bit of an idea there, we have listeners in Australia internationally. We have listeners in Australia, the Netherlands.
Some guy set up a mirror of our radio station at a university in Australia.
Sure.
So that he could share it with his friends easily, so they wouldn't have to tune in and maybe get a good connection, maybe not. So he's mirrored it locally. We have tons of mirrors all over North America. We did have one in the Netherlands, but that went down. We're looking at putting another one back up.
And just to carry that on there, we have some pretty, like, across the United States, we're fairly spread out. We got guys like... let's see, we got Smokehouse in Illinois, there's Fork and guys like that in California, APOC in New York, Mr. Echo in Alaska, all these fellas.
They contribute a lot with artwork, and they just help out the station in general by promoting it.
Yeah, and they have little groups that they meet over at one guy's house, and it's like their Sunday night evening internet church, you know, and they sit down and they all like listen to this stuff, and like Fork at Zorostor and all these guys over there. And it's great.
And also, we don't just have, it's not just a whole bunch of MP3s rotating over and over again. We do have a live show on Sunday where all of our listeners tune in and we just go off. We have a 1-800 number that people can phone in. They can contact
us during the show.
During the show.
Yeah, during the show.
They can contact us through ICQ, and we chat in the IRC, and we have a webcam. We want to get the listeners very involved.
It's extremely interactive, and... I'd like to also mention that a major player behind the scenes in Rant Radio besides us is a fellow by the name of Derek Anderson, who goes by Enki Online, and he's done a lot of the code for the cult site. He's a really brilliant guy, and he's just helped us out a lot. But the great thing is that everybody who's done everything, Derek, all these guys, do it for free. And that's really, I think, the selling point of Rant Radio is that it is all free.
We've never accepted any money. We don't have any advertising.
It cost us more money than anything else.
Yeah, we've lost money at it.
Now, how do you guys keep doing this? I mean, you're putting in as much work as would be put into a major commercial radio network, really. But how do you guys get by?
It's out of the goodness of our listeners' hearts. All these mirrors that are set up all around the world for our radio station and all the promos that are made, they're all from our listeners, and I think that's really important and shows you how much they like the station and how much they're involved. And we put in tons of work every week, and we have regular jobs, too. We're both sysadmins at companies, but we put in a lot of work, too.
So basically, you guys do not sleep.
Pretty much.
Well, I just generally, you know, go home and beat myself with a shovel in order to stay angry all the time. That's what I do for my evening. But to be honest, one of the reasons why, getting back to that whole thing of why Rant Radio is successful and the promotion for that, is going back to the "we weren't raised, we were distracted" thing. People are sick of advertising because, I mean, eventually the whole world's going to look like Tokyo, which is pretty much, you know, like Blade Runner at night.
You've been listening to part 2 of our conversation with Sean Kennedy and James O'Brien. Stay tuned for more of The Real Web.
The fact that you're Canadians, does that play a role in this at all? I mean, in the sense that, you know, you've been listening to American propaganda your entire lives. Now you want to give some back. You want to give back to the community, so to speak.
Well, Canada's like another state of the United States. Anything that U.S. does, it pretty much happens up here. The one thing that did not happen up here, and I'm very thankful for that, our regulatory body is the CRTC, down there at the FCC. But the CRTC said they will not regulate broadcasts over the Internet at all. So we can do anything we want. We can broadcast anything we want within normal legal ramifications. We can't slander people, utter
threats, nothing like that.
But we can say whatever we want, play whatever we want, which is a great boon to Rant Radio. It's kind of, on the other hand, it's not as cool as it is.
Yeah,
as pirate as we are,
we're pirate, and then we have eye patches, and you know, we have parents, but that's about as pirate as we get. But in essence, though, in depending on the country you're in, like if you were listening to us in China, this would be an illegal broadcast. If you're listening to us in some areas of the United States, it would also be an illegal broadcast.
Yeah.
But in Europe, it's okay.
But where we're broadcasting from, it's all good, baby.
We're free to go.
Yeah, so they can't touch us.
Well, what do you think of the pirate radio people, or to use the official jargon, the LPFM people, the community-based radio, low-power FM, as the phrase goes. What do you think of them? Are they lunatics? Are they kooks? Are you guys on the same team? What's going on here?
We are all for them. We are on the same team. The more word can get on the street, the better it is. So why have one corporation owning five radio stations in the same city, which is what's happening now? They've deregulated radio stations that corporations can own as many as they want now. It used to be, I think, two or three. But one corporation can own all the radio stations eventually, and you get the same news, the same ads, and the same point of view. And the more diversity out there, the better it is, whether it's lies or real, the more opinions you get. So I am all for it.
Oh, absolutely. And it's like when General Electric bought NBC not too long ago. Back in the 80s, there we had that big nuke scare running around. Everyone was all, nuclear bombs were in the news every day. And then when General Electric bought, I think it was NBC or ABC, one of those two. But anyway, they bought
NBC. NBC.
And all of a sudden, the nuke stories disappeared. Where's all the nukes gone? They're gone because General Electric is a major weapons manufacturer. So, and we had this kind of thing happening. So I think that, In answer more directly, I believe that the pirate internet radio people down in the United States, those guys are some of the most important media in North America today because they provide a truthful counterpoint and a real expose of things that are really happening in real time.
You've been listening to part 3 of our conversation with Sean Kennedy and James O'Brien. Stay tuned for more of The Real Web.
What do you guys think of Napster?
Yeah, and without libeling any rock bands, I mean, how lame is Metallica? Is a softball question. Just knock that one out of the park, please.
We're pretty open-spoken on Rant Radio.
Yeah.
We hold no bars.
Yeah,
we actually have a rant in rotation about Mr. Lars Ulrich.
We love
MP3s, Napster, and especially Nutella, where they...
You know, it used to be called sharing before they made it illegal, eh?
That was
everything I ever learned in kindergarten,
sharing is good.
You know, it's not like... If Napster was making money, like if they were stealing music, selling it, and making money on it, like Asian, you know, pirate market style, then that's fine, yeah, by all means. You know, people should just wade into those guys with a shovel. But the point is that
they're not making money,
and it's actually kind of a ludicrous thought, really, to sell music, if you think about it.
It's art.
It is art, and if you take a photo of a painting, like, well, where do you draw the line? Oh, Daddy, were you licensed to tell me that bedtime story? I mean, give me a break. There comes a point when you have to say, hang on, this is stupid. You know, people in Russia are filing for patents on bottles. It's insane, and it's got to stop.
Well, I mean, don't you think Napster is all about revenge? I mean, we've been paying $17, $18, $19 for lousy CDs for 10 years. And now here's a chance for people, you know, to cut through that and just get the song that they want in a good quality format.
I think it was a long time coming. I mean, they make so much profit on these CDs. If they're selling in the stores for $2, You think I'd be wasting my time online downloading these MP3s all day. It takes me forever to get a full album.
Oh, yeah. More than that, actually, taking it a step further to go with your revenge idea, I think that the truth of the matter is that they're not so angry at having to pay for the CD. That, I don't think, is the point, because many, many people will go buy the CD after they hear it on MP3.
I like the artwork. I like the guaranteed going to spin
up
kind of CD, play it anywhere. The Burns don't play in my car sometimes.
Vinyl still sells. People buy vinyl all the time. Why? The reason why Napster is so brilliant is because no one plays alternative industrial music on the radio. You cannot get good house music previews because DJs suck. So what happens is that you have to have the ability to go online, sample 20 million different tracks of industrial brands. Some of them suck, some of them don't. But the ones that don't, you find out about these amazing bands, and you find about, like, local talent, Darkest of the Hillside Thickets, all these guys who are amazing.
I wouldn't have found out about a lot of bands if it wasn't for Napster and Nutella.
Because
I wouldn't know half the cool bands I know now.
You can't preview music at $30 a crack for an import and just buy it on a blind hope because the album art is good. That doesn't work. But if you're buying, you know, stuff from Germany and Japan that you've imported, which is, you know, really solid Blade Runner, cutting edge, bleeding kind of stuff, then, yeah, you'll pay the $40 because, yeah, look, I got the original gold foil, the box set, the whole nine, and Sirius audiophiles will do that. And the record companies, it's all about greed at this point. They're screwing artists beyond belief, and now everyone is just sick of it and they've had their day. Sorry, you're a dinosaur, time to die.
And why is it the small bands like it, but the big bands under the big, huge corporations don't?
I'm Bill Lasard.
And I'm Steve Baldwin.
Thank you for tuning in to The Real Web.